And welcome back to Manga Kaiwa.
Yes, we did a little 1 week skipper. Let's just put it that way. And we apologize, but you know, it's just this is for fun. So if it's not going to be fun recording an episode, why would we record the episode? That's the philosophy. Obviously we're sorry that if you were in some capacity looking forward to what we were going to put out, that it didn't come out, but it is today. So good for you.
Yes, indeed. Better late than never.
Yes, exactly. Today we are going to be talking about, Ben, would you like to introduce the topic?
Yes. So since it is the year of Bleach, so to speak, with the new anime coming out in October now, we will be discussing really what makes Bleach special in our opinions.
Yeah. And I mean, so this is going to be a recording that's a bit more to the point, I think. I don't know if this is something you could look at as good or bad. But in the recent episodes, we've kind of hit a few records in terms of how long recordings have ended up being. So we apologize if that was an off put for some people. But particularly with this, this topic is a bit, I guess, intangible, if you get what I'm saying. Obviously, it's a topic, but I mean in the sense that it's hard to grasp, because what we're talking about is at its core what makes Bleach special, and that isn't easy to pinpoint, because special in and of itself describes a feeling that you get that isn't really something that can be worded very easily. And that's exactly what Bleach provides. And I think actually the best thing about it is its specialness. So I was wondering, Ben, did you have like one particular point that you wanted to maybe start off the discussion with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do actually. So I think that, you know, immediately when I think of like what sets Bleach apart from, you know, other like anime / manga, I immediately think of the style of Bleach, like the stylistic elements that go into the creation of the series. And when I say style, I mean really like, I mean a lot of things. Like, I mean, I guess the literal style, like the fashion of the characters, and also like the sort of like vibe that you sort of get from the series. So we see that, like, you know, Tite Kubo, the mangaka, is similar to the mangaka of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Hirohiko Araki, in the sense that he is very interested in fashion for a mangaka. And he actually spends a lot of time, even though, you know, are the characters, say like the Shinigami, they'll mostly be wearing their, you know, their chihakushos, I think they're called, like the kimonos they wear. But he actually spends a lot of time, you know, like on covers and stuff, dressing them up in all these like different like outfits. And
it gets crazy sometimes. Like,
it does, yeah,
that one, like, cover, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Fullbring arc, but I might be completely wrong there, that famous one with like the hyper shaded like face of Ichigo, and he's in like this white fur parka, and it's like, whoa.
So immediately you see that Kubo just has this immense passion for fashion,
and like character design. I think, like, you know, that's probably something that you might have wanted to address later. Sorry if I cut you off there, but it's like, I think they go hand in hand, right? I think he is, and this is something that a lot of people agree with, and I cannot disagree with, a master and arguably the best in terms of like making his characters just look very sharp and smooth and like just, you know, just very refined. Like, they have an identity, a visual identity that is so, so clear. And I think that's really, really important, especially when he puts them in settings that are just as sort of like really distinguished, like, you know, it's his style, and it just owns itself so much. It's like so consistent throughout. I mean, but yeah, if you were going to keep talking about the clothes, sorry if I cut you off, because that is obviously a super important element, especially the way that like no Soul Reaper looks the same, even though they're wearing similar uniforms. I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I guess I sort of got my point across with the clothes and the fashion, how like Kubo has this like immense like I said, passion for fashion, and that is, and you see, it is very apparent, like as you read the series, especially like if you read the manga. Actually, I mean, even if you read the anime, I mean, if you watch the anime right off the bat, in the first opening, you see how, like, you know, all the characters are like dressed in, like, you know, these like street clothes, right? They're all exactly. They're like, distinct fashion, and I think it's really great to see, because, like you said, you know, each character really feels like they have like their own identity, their own feeling, and the fashion just really contributes to that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I really want to get out of the way, and this may seem like a bit of an exaggerated amount of prefacing on my part, but manga is obviously a visual medium, and I'm going to talk specifically in terms of my experience with the manga, which came in the form of the last arc that is also going to be getting its anime adaptation. So I guess there might be a few minor spoilers in this video, but not really much, because we're mostly talking about the sort of feeling that the story gives off. But this is obviously the latest part of the manga, where Kubo has had, you know, several years, if not, I think over a decade, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that one. I think maybe a bit less or somewhere around there, but to refine his style and to really get it down. And he does it so, so well. Although this is a point that a lot of people do bring up when they're talking about Bleach's style, because it's not an unknown fact that, or I guess opinion that, it's not an unpopular opinion that Bleach has a very, very refined, very good looking style. But I mean, it has to be said, Taite Kubo's use of negative space and his refusal to rely on gray tones is just so, 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 so important to making his art style give off this really important vibe. I love how Bleach is able to use just fields of white, but then also to somehow have the ability to make everything shaded in either solid black or in shade lines. It's just like, you don't question it when you see it. You see it, but it doesn't look weird or faking or something like that. I think, you know, a lot of people I think would disagree with me, because they say, like, you know, oh, Kubo forgot to draw the backgrounds on this panel. Where I would say, like, yeah, maybe it's a matter of efficiency. He had a limited amount of time and he just couldn't. But it certainly doesn't look bad. And I'm sure that Kubo was aware that it contributed something to the feeling of those panels when he decided not to draw the background, as opposed to maybe allocating some time to the background and less to something else that he did eventually like end up pouring all his time into. I think either in whatever way he chose, either or, he definitely has, he's so certain, he is so, I guess, resolved about his art style. And that's really important, because, like, I think what's really tricky about a lot of other art styles is that they change so drastically. And that's not always a bad thing in my experience, but with Kubo, he's so certain. He's that, and it just shows, it's so pure and raw what he puts out, because he knows his style very, very well. And I think also, you know, it's illustrated in the fact that he has like this fan club right now. I don't know if you've heard of it as well, Ben, but like there's like a subscription-based service where you get like exclusive drawings from Kubo that are like only available in this kind of like subscription-based platform. And I think it's actually, you know, I don't want to raise this topic because this one's a fireball, but I think it's a very good option, alternative to NFTs, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because I mean, I'm sure that at some point he's going to try to sell NFTs on there, like considering how it's blowing up. But like the fact that there's not just NFTs available on that platform is really cool. But it also shows, just trying to draw us back in, sorry, that like, you know, his style is so like, you want more, even if Bleach is done. And I think what's so amazing is that, like, Kubo recently redesigned some, I think he redrew a certain character from MHA, and like everybody flipped out because he looked thousands of times better than he actually did in Horikoshi's artwork, which, mind you, is not bad at all. It was, but I mean, man, the way that Kubo was just able to take it and turn it into something on a completely different level was just amazing. I mean, I could rant and rant and rant about the visual style of it all day, but that's what I was saying at the beginning, right? Manga is at its core a visual medium, and what you experience, regardless of whether it goes into other senses, I don't know if you're that immersed in it, it is visual. And most of the experience that you get is what you experience through the thought process, and I guess the mental processing of the events and whatever you see in the story. And that's what is so amazing about Bleach, is that it's able to take full advantage of that, in my opinion. Not necessarily with its plots, but with just the way that Kubo handles the style in combination with, I think, the dialogue, which maybe sounds a bit random, but I think it obviously is probably the primary window into characters that we get. You know, it creates a very specific tone. And I want to just highlight that, because that for me is the main point of this discussion, its tone. The kind of weird melancholy, but at the same time, like very relaxed, cool, also sort of sad, just feeling of Bleach is just so, so unique. And I mean, you know, I feel like I've been saying that again and again and again, but it is hard to explain. And I think there are multiple other points that I'd like to address throughout that, but that is most definitely the primary one, that tone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, tone is definitely, you know, a very big, yeah, again, like unique aspect of Bleach. Because I feel like, like you said, I feel like the sort of melancholy part of it is sort of like, it's always present, like throughout the series. It doesn't really go away, really. But I feel like other parts of the tone sort of like shift, like as the series goes on. Like, for example, like at the beginning of the series, you know, with substitute Shinigami arc, you can tell that there it has like this very, you know, airy feeling and almost kind of like horror aspect to it that isn't like super present, like, you know, as the series goes on. And then again, it gets more, you know, like action, like, you know, fighting base, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that this also kind of goes into tone. But I feel like, you know, the different worlds of Bleach,
of course,
much like, you know, the characters, each do like a really good job of like having like their own feel and their own, you know, distinct, you know, personality. Like, you know, you see like, you know, Earth, like, well, not really Earth, like more like Karakura Town, like, you know, Ichigo's hometown. Yeah. And you get this feeling that, you know, this is just like, you know, this is Ichigo's town, and this is where he goes to high school, this is where he lives. But you know, you still get this very, you know, distinct, you know, it's hard to describe, but you know, you get this almost like nostalgic feeling.
Exactly. I agree with what you're saying. Like, when I think of Karakura Town, I very often think of like a weird sunset. I don't know why, but like, just especially at the beginning of Bleach, that one scene where I think Ichigo enters the story, if I'm not mistaken, where he just like, I don't know, beats up these people who are I don't know, something like that.
Indeed.
I mean, I think that's what's so weird about Bleach, is that it's not a very complicated story. It's a long story, and it does have certain like more complex plot threads. But at the same time, in comparison, and especially in comparison to a lot of other shonen who really do have a lot of stuff going on, which Bleach does too, but these series have a lot of very kind of dense concept stuff going on. With Bleach, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, there are some series that are able to pull it off, but it all depends on what kind of route you choose. And I think in terms of the tone, I think that's what makes, but that's another thing that I think is really pivotal, you know, in the same line of logic as tone, like, as, you know, in regards to what makes Bleach special, which is that it's very raw, it's very uniform in that sense. I mean, like, it's very kind of like one thing. It's not like taking a bunch of other things and tying them together and like having an identity that is like a patchwork. It's very consistent blend. And I know I'm talking like figurative jargon right now, but I guess I'll try to elaborate. I think that you can especially see that in the art style, that I guess that the fact that it's such an extreme, it's like you either have black or white. And even in the settings, like the actual, like, you know, ideas of what is in the settings, as in like in the Soul Society, everything is mostly similar looking. Like, besides the center, everything else is just sort of like these lines of traditional style Japanese houses with, like, you know, I guess manicured streets in between. There's nothing really like, just, and it still looks so amazing. And with Hueco Mundo, even more so, you just have desert with a few palaces and stone columns in between, right? It's just a desert. And I mean, you know, there are so many other options that you could go through, but it's just this kind of uniformity, this lack of, I guess, complexity that first of all, completely avoids the possible problem of things getting too convoluted in the narrative and the themes, especially. Because that's what I think, you know, maybe I should do, because I've kind of been hesitating as I've been talking. Like, yeah, Bleach does have some complex, like technical things going on sometimes, as in like, you know, the, I don't know, whether it be politics or the moves or whatever. But the themes that are present in it are very, very pure, and they don't really ever get kind of too complicated. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's just like, I feel like Bleach just gets its identity down so well and so precisely that it doesn't really need to have like these amazing plot revelations or just like really complicated acrobatics of like the plot where, oh shoot, the author actually pulled it off. They brought everything together. Like, it doesn't really need that, because the feeling that it gives me is just so powerful that it's enough on its own. That's why the ending of Bleach, although it was a bit kind of like just a weird, abrupt full stop, and the pacing was arguably not good at all, it didn't really matter to me, because just Bleach was just the experience of Bleach in and of itself, right? It wasn't necessarily the objective to reach a goal. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, Ben, but...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, but I mean, I definitely agree with like the whole, like, you know, like Bleach certainly benefits from not having like super complex, like plot threads. I mean, you know, there are some that are there, but like, nothing like really super complex, like a main like story element. And yeah. I feel like that actually, you know, that actually contrasts a lot with, you know, the Naruto series, which, you know, a lot of people compare Bleach to like often. You know, with Naruto, it's sort of become a meme at this point where, like, you know, in Naruto, you know, you like the main, you see, oh yes, so okay, so there's this one villain, Pain, but he's not the big bad. The big bad is actually Obito, but it's not Obito, it's Madara, but it's not Madara, it's Kaguya, and so on and so on.
And it's not like, Madara, it's not Kaguya, it's
Zetsu. It's a black Zetsu, exactly. Yeah, but it's like, you know, and we just, you know, that isn't really there. I mean, you know, Bleach has, you know, of course, you know, there was the one moment where it's like, oh, Aizen was behind everything.
But that was just felt- I think there are very rarely people who would say that the Aizen reveal was not a good thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just, that felt like, you know, more natural, I would say. And like, and you know, if like Juha or Yuha, you know, the final villain, you know, it doesn't feel like he's just come out of nowhere, because it feels like the entire series is really, in a way,
yeah,
been building up to his reveal. You see how you sort of learn about, you know, the Quincy's with, you know, Uryu Ishida, and you see how, you know, they sort of get built up, and that's why, when, you know, when the Thousand Year Blood War arc happens, it doesn't feel like they've just come out of nowhere. Yuha has come out of nowhere. It's like, you know, it feels very natural, whereas, you know, Kaguya, I mean, Kaguya does kind of, yeah, she just kind of, you know, comes out of nowhere, and it's like, okay, this is, we thought Madara was the final boss, but now it's Kaguya, so yeah, we have to leave her. It just feels kind of wonky, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel really supernatural.
I guess the difference is, because I'm sure that people would argue that, oh, well, Ichigo's identity and the whole kind of complexity of what all he is, I mean, yes, that is a complicated and probably a bit overly complicated aspect of Bleach as a story. But I mean, it's not really something that's super important to understand, like all the nitty gritties of, right? Whereas in Naruto, if we're just going to extend that comparison, you sort of need to, just to some extent, understand what's going on in order to, you know, follow, like to be up to date on how everything is going and why it's going the way it is. But I think the point is with Ichigo, and I think this is another huge topic that I would like to get into, I don't know if that's okay with you, Ichigo himself and what he contributes to the story. But the thing is with Ichigo is that, you know, his identity, you don't need to know the names of every single kind of weird faction or species that he is in some way related to. You don't need to. You just need to know that there are a lot. And again, I want to stress, obviously, that's probably a change of direction, or you could argue a retcon that, you know, or just, I guess, a dropped plot thread. Let's not call it a retcon, because that's something different, that Kubo did make the decision to drop. You know, it is complicated and overly complicated. I won't argue with that. But for me, that doesn't really interfere with a lot of the most important core aspects of the story, being that Ichigo, you know, he is sort of finding himself throughout a lot of this story. And there's a lot of like proof in the way that he trains most of the time, like on more than a few occasions where he literally goes into himself in order to resolve some kind of issue that would enable him to overcome a certain like obstacle. I mean, I don't know what you think about that, Ben, but like, I think that the fact that Ichigo has so many things inside of him is a mystery that I look forward to, especially the reveal of Aizen's involvement of it. I don't see that as a bad thing. Obviously, I don't like the fact that there are so many different factors that like have specific names and stuff, but I just know that there's a lot and that Ichigo is an anomaly in this world.
Yeah, I mean, I can accept that too. You know, I'm not sure if like, I feel like because like that might be like, you know, an aspect of the series, like, you know, does get more criticism. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like supernatural. I mean, yeah, I mean, Ichigo is like, you know, part of, he's really everything, right? But it just, you know, it feels right. It feels, you know, it's just, you just know that, you know, like you said, he's an anomaly. And, I forgot where else I was, where I meant to go, but, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Ichigo, I mean, like,
yeah. No, yeah, I also wanted to say that, you know, Ichigo is, you know, as a lot of people have noted, Ichigo is, you know, very unique for shonen protagonists in the sense that, you know, he doesn't have this like clear defined goal.
Yes, this is what I was going to get next.
You know, like Naruto or Luffy, but you know, and still like, then even that like gets like, you know, is an object of criticism for some, unfortunately, but really it just shouldn't be, because, you know, Ichigo is like, it makes sense. You feel like he is, you know, he does very much feel like, you know, how a real
human being, real, exactly, you know. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's like just such an important part that I guess you could probably tie in, and obviously this is more depending on the individual. I'm sure this is not something that the first thing that everybody comes up with, but it's certainly something that I at least feel, and I'm now putting into words, you know, like, Ichigo's kind of multifaceted origins and all the weird factions that he is in some way related to, like, they are, I mean, it becomes more relatable, even though he's such a cluster of things, because he feels more human than a lot of other protagonists in stories. I think a lot of other shonen stories do kind of humanize their really ridiculously driven, resolved and just unyielding protagonists that are just like inhumanly, like just I guess resilient, you know, by seeing them struggle. Like, they do struggle, they do get emotional, they do have ups and downs, like, you know. But with Ichigo you have that and the fact that he's just not really motivated by anything. And I think personally that the idea of goals and how you attain your goals is something that is very, very often a factor in deciding whether an ending of a story is good or not, right? And I think it often is a bit of a pigeonhole for authors. They set this goal at the beginning of the series because it's captivating. It gets people, I guess, interested in the character and where they're going to go. And if it's not pulled off the way that most people want it to at the end, it just ends up leaving them with a bitter taste in their mouths. And the author has maybe done what they want, but they haven't done what the fans want. I guess I'm sort of going on a tangent right now, but what I mean by that is that I think the lack of a goal from Ichigo gives Kubo a bit more freedom. But not only that, I think it actually gives Ichigo something that a lot of other protagonists don't have, which is that I don't think he necessarily has like a goal in one sense, which is the active sense. Because I think a really clear distinction that we have to make with Ichigo in comparison to a lot of his shonen peers is that other protagonists in shonen stories very often have an active goal, where they have to do something in the plot. They have to directly change the status quo in order to accomplish a goal. Whereas, like, you know, for example, Naruto having to kind of gain the respect of the village and so on and so forth in order to become Hokage, which is from the bat what he says he wants to do. But with Ichigo, he does have a goal. And I mean, it's a simple one. And I think, you know, obviously a lot of what we're saying right now does depend on your individual kind of just like preferences and how you take to it. But I guess Ben and I do have a similar kind of way of interacting with Bleach as a story. So we kind of, I guess, agree with most of the points that each other are making, or we are making. But obviously you might not, and especially this point that I'm about to make is very subjective, right? Like Ichigo's goal is fundamentally to protect what he holds dear, right? That is fundamentally what it is. And since that is sort of a goal that aligns with the status quo, it's more like a reverse situation where he is now, his goal is now passive, right? As long as he is able to protect what he wants, he'll just get pushed around by the plot as much as he needs to be in order to do that, right? Like, I guess a good analogy might be like a bottle and the contents that you throw into an ocean, right? Like maybe there's a storm, Ichigo is the bottle, everything that's in the contents is what, you know, he wants to protect. It's sort of like that. He's not gonna do anything specific, like, you know, in terms of trying to accomplish like a major grand goal, because he already has this one goal. He already has what he wants and he's just gonna try to keep it. And that means that if there's like a weird invasion of the Soul Society, he's going to try to protect his friends in the Soul Society. That's a good point, right? Because like a lot of the initiators, the instigators, let's just say, of the major plot, I guess, regions, I guess, arcs of Bleach being, for example, the Soul Society, the Roncar saga, if you will, and Aizen's defeat, etc. And then obviously at the end, the endangerment of the Soul Society, like all of these involve Rukia's capture or Hime's kidnapping, you know, the Soul Society being threatened by the Quincy Empire, right? Like all of these in some way endanger Ichigo's, I guess, precious things, right? And he tries to do what he does in order to protect those. And honestly, I think that's a very mature way of building a protagonist. It's a very mature protagonist, in fact. I think I would put it that way, because in a lot of other cases, like very typical shonen active goals, they just seem a bit kind of like simplistic. And the fact that I think a lot of fans are trying to kind of like are disappointed when that isn't the case with Ichigo, for example, I guess I'm not going to say it shows that they're childish. That's not what I mean either. But I think it sort of shows that people have like different preferences in terms of like what a shonen should be and whether a shonen should follow those tropes, which believe it or not, people do enjoy, or if they're acceptant of the fact that it might deviate to some extent, right? Like, and I think Ichigo is an experiment in that sense. And in my opinion, mostly successful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, even more so, I will add that, you know, I feel like, you know, when a lot of times when shonen protagonists, you know, they have these clear defined goals, you know, oftentimes it's really to be the best, right? Naruto wants to be Hokage. He wants to be, you know, the best ninja in the village. Luffy wants to be the Pirate King. But Ichigo, you know, he doesn't need to be this. He doesn't feel the need to be above others. He just, you know, he just wants to protect what he holds dear. And I feel like Ichigo also has this sort of relatable aspect to him in the sense that, yes, like you said, he is swept along by the plot. But I feel like that's how, you know, a lot of us, at least, you know, I would be, if I was in a similar situation exactly. as Ichigo, I would probably just get swept up by, you know, what was happening around me and just try to make the best of it while, you know, protecting my loved ones, honestly. I feel like I would honestly be in a similar, it would probably be similar for me as well, yeah, if I was in his place, I would say.
Yeah, which again comes back to that point of how Ichigo feels a bit more real to a lot of other protagonists. And I think, like, you know, again, I don't want to get all harpy on this topic, but I guess I will say what's on my chest right now. With the rise of like these really overpowered protagonists in a lot of these stories, and like, you know, especially in the proliferating isekai genre, right? and everything that has to do with like these protagonists that have ridiculous amounts of power and don't really struggle as a result. I'm not saying that's how a lot of shonen are. But at the end of the day, I think it does reflect this desire to have an inhumanly ideal, like admirable protagonist, which, I mean, that's just not interesting, and if you ask me. And I think Ichigo is definitely that in the sense that he's not really ambitious in any way, you know, but he's resolved. There's a distinction between these things. He is resolved as frick to protect his family members. But that doesn't mean like he has resolve for a goal that he currently doesn't like have access to, right? Like, et cetera, et cetera. You could go on. I think Ichigo though is really, because when I think of Bleach, I think of Ichigo. which I think is like a really important thing. I don't know, like if you think of the protagonist when you think of the series as a whole, like I think that's really important, right? And I mean, Bleach is not the only series, but I think Ichigo is special in that regard because he really is much like the story itself, if you get what I'm saying. Like, you know, he's very refined, like very simple, but no one cares. No one cares. Like, it's just like, that's how he is. And it's interesting to see him in that regard because a lot of the facets and niches of his character arise from the fact that he's not like, it's not anything technical. It's not that he experienced a certain thing and this is his reaction. It's his emotions. It's his, I guess, reactions to the events of the story. And that's what I think is so amazing, right? Like, it's that he's basically, and I know every protagonist does react, every character does react and develop according to the events of the story that are around them. But in Ichigo's case, he isn't really going against the flow, if you will. He's doing so very subtly to try to get what he wants. But in the process, in an unintended way, he does develop still. So I guess what I'm trying to say is he sort of changes by attempting to resist the change that is threatening his loved ones. Okay, that sounded really convoluted. Let me rephrase that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that Ichigo's character development is not expressed through dialogue or certain plot events that influence the way that he behaves or goes about his thing. Like, you know, that's not how it is. And that is a very common way that authors choose to develop the protagonist. It's through either literally stating what has happened or hinting at what has developed in the character through words or through, I guess, certain actions. With Ichigo, the actions part is definitely there, but not in the same way. And the dialogue part is, I think, very much less there than it is in other cases. I think mostly what I get from Ichigo is his facial expressions and the ways he goes about solving an issue, right? I think that's what really gets me about Ichigo. And like, that's what makes me, that cues me on that he's changed from the last time I saw him, right? It's the faint smile that he might give Rukia or Hime, or the kind of melancholy look he gives his comrades when he feels that sees that they're alive, right? Or that's just the stance and the composition of the panel that Kubo puts him in, right? Like, that's where I get how this character has changed, right? And again, that just reinforces the fact that Bleach is in many ways a mess of a plot in terms of the plot, right? It is a bit all over the place and it doesn't really find its I guess direction in that regard, but it does in terms of just the raw feeling of it, which I think is the main contributing factor to what makes Bleach special. I mean, it just is for me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the way Bleach is able to make, you know, you feel in general is definitely like what makes it unique. Like, all sort of like all these things combined, the style, the tone, you know, the sort of relatability of Ichigo, all of it like combines to like, give Bleach this very, you know, unique feeling and very, you know, almost sort of like kind of like nostalgic like vibe almost.
But, exactly. But like, yeah. I don't even think it is nostalgia, if you get what I'm saying, but it is the same feeling you get from nostalgia. Because it's not like you're looking back on like a situation that you have fond memories of necessarily. It's more like that warmth, that sort of like, damn, this really knows what it's doing, like sort of thing. Like it's like almost like you're seeing a person, right? Like the story itself is very organic in that way. And I think like, I guess the main reason I propose this topic, Ben, I'm just gonna say, is because like, I feel that a lot of people do evaluate Bleach and often criticize it on the basis of its faults as a story, as like a plot, which I'm not saying is wrong. Yes, the plot is in many ways the most important aspect of something. But I think that Bleach should be regarded as a bit of an anomaly, an exception in that case, because it does have a very unique, I guess, just untechnical impact on a person. That's how I want to put it. Like, it's just purely reaction of the person in terms of the mood that they feel from something, if you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
my English teachers would kill me if they heard me right now because I got mixed up with mood and tone. I don't even know what the difference is anymore. But there's a reason they're mentioned in the same context, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, mood as well. Mood is very, very big in part of Bleach. And of course, we can't forget, you know, the amazing soundtrack of the anime, how, and it also, you know, which also adds the distinct feeling of each sort of faction in Bleach. You know, you get this sort of like, and even like, you know, to the different arcs, more specifically, you get how, like, you know, you sort of get, you know, this sort of like eerie aspects of like the beginning of the Bleach and the substitute Shinigami arc. And then going into the Soul Society, it feels very
like grungy. It feels very rebellious, like, almost. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Rebellious.
Like,
yeah.
But like for example, you know, Battle Ignition, the guitar and the weird, like, really grainy.
Yeah.
Movie. I know. Yeah, that's another.
Yeah,
thing.
But I feel like. Yeah, but I feel like you also get with Soul Society. You also get this very regal feeling from the soundtrack as well. Like I feel like there's like the actual theme of the Soul Society is very regal and almost like feels transcendent. Yeah. Which makes sense, like with how, like, you know, the Soul Society sort of portrayed as a sort of
elitist, know, almost, and, like, in that situation. Yeah, I remember that. But
yeah,
what I think is especially cool as well is which arc was this again? Well, I mean, obviously we haven't talked about the Arrancars, like, more, I guess, inspired themes, which are really freaking good too. Like, that's where I'm like, Sagisu knew what he was doing in this situation. Like, he knew how to directly reflect that just feeling, that raw feeling of Bleach in the music when he was adapting it for the anime. Goddamn, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
I hope he'll come back, and I'm pretty sure he will, but I hope he'll come back to make this soundtrack, you know, whatever new tracks are added to the new anime. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Sagiso is a genius, and Bleach undoubtedly has one of the best soundtracks in anime, I will say.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that really clears up a lot of what I have to say, because again, you know, with Bleach's kind of like specialness lacking in a concrete way of explaining itself, you know, in words, I don't think I have much more to say. And if I did, it would probably just be repeating the same stuff I've already said. So yeah. I think I would leave my points. Ben, did you have anything additional that you wanted to kind of contribute, or?
Yeah. Just one final thing. Going back to the soundtrack, I don't think we mentioned this, but so like the Arrancars are inspired by like Spanish culture and like Hispanic culture, much like how the Shinigami are inspired by of course traditional Japanese culture, and the Quincy's later on are very German inspired. But the Arrancars are, you know, Spanish, and the soundtrack just like works so well because it's traditional Spanish music. I forgot like the actual specific name for it, but you know, you would think that like it just you wouldn't think at first, you know, you wouldn't think at first like immediately that like Spanish music would feel like fitting like in a shonen anime, but it just does, and it works so well. It feels like
I don't know if this is the official term for it, but a lot of people like online refer to it as like flamenco music. I don't know if it's
flamenco, exactly that,
because flamenco is, I think, a bit more specific because it's for a dance, but who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the, because a lot of the soundtracks do feel like very dance, you know?
Yeah. They do though. Yeah. And I think the weirdest thing is the violins just go so well with everything. Yeah. And there are some really wacky noises that he ends up using, especially in like Escalón. Oh my God. Woo! Yeah.
But we'll see, because like I mean I don't know like like I guess so I guess we'll have to see if like, you know, the Quincy's have like traditional German
I don't know what they're gonna pull it off. I don't know if they'll necessarily try to do like a traditional like German thing, because there's not really any traditional German music that would fit with the events of the Thousand Year Blood War. I think it would probably end up just being a lot of classical music, because Bach, you know, Beethoven, Mozart, I guess he was Austrian, but whatever.
Yeah, imagine like Moonlight Sonata playing. Well, it would be fitting.
Yeah, for that, that would probably be a good I'm starting to forget the Sternrider's names now. There's one Sternrider, the one that hates Uryu, that I think would go so well with the Moonlight Sonata. You know who I'm talking about.
And but, also I feel like the moment after Ichigo fights Yuha for the very first time, and he's just like sort of like, you know, he's just kind of defeating
one of the best panels in Bleach, in my opinion. Oh my god. Yeah, it's so good. Oh no, wait, is that the one where he gets to the Soul Society where it's like super dark and he's just standing there in his full bring bunkai and he's like it's raining and stuff? Like he's just standing there. Like, you know, typical Bleach style, all epic and swaggy and stuff. I don't know. That was really good. But yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it was really, really fun talking about Bleach because, I mean, I love this series. And again, like, the reason I love it is because I, you know, even though I watched it at a young age, I could follow along with it because, again, it is so unique in terms of, like, just the emotions that I feel when I see it. And I'm so excited to see the continuation of the anime because it looks good. And I really hope it doesn't disappoint because if Piero is doing it, which I'm pretty sure they are, they haven't been doing the greatest stuff in the last few years. I mean, it's not bad, but I mean, with Black Clover, for example, it did have some shaky aspects. But considering the amount of attention that is on this project, I'm hoping that they'll take out all the stops. So obviously, you know, barring all, you know, damages to the health of the animators, that's not what I mean. They have had 2 years to prepare, though, so hopefully. I mean, I'm so excited. I'm sure you are as well, Ben.
I am too. Yeah, I'm super, I really am stoked for this,
All right. Well, we'll see you guys whenever we do, strugglers. And I hope you guys have a wonderful whatever amount of time.
Yes, keep right, struggling.
Bye. Mata yoga.